Friends, the title is in the form of a question. What is man? On the surface it looks silly. Well, I am that. Human beings walking with four hands, with two legs, etc., etc. is a physical body, everybody knows. Medical science and anatomists have dissected the human body to the minutest detail, to such an extent that they have gone into the cell, the various organs and tissues of the physical body, both the soft tissues as well as the skeleton. And today we have reached into the very cell of our physical body through the microscope. And still further, within the cell, the mitochondria and others which are connected with heredity, the transmission of characteristic traits from the parents to the offspring, various other organelles within the cell have been dissected by means of the electron microscope. And so we say how much knowledge we have. In fact, there is a surfeit of knowledge regarding the physical body, and we take all sorts of precautions to keep it healthy if possible and to beautify it. So we have fashion models, beauty parlors to beautify the body. Theosophy says this is 1/7 of the total man. Known to science in its detail, functional and structural. But beyond this, science cannot probe the unseen physical man. Leave aside the unseen invisible man. Unseen physical man can be to some extent glimpsed by means of alien photography, which has brought into focus what is called the astral body, which is the model of the designing body for the physical. It is a scaffolding, just as a building is being constructed, there is a scaffolding. So the astral body within the physical body, made of a very subtle, supersensuous physical form, atoms and molecules, unseen, but nevertheless can be seen, and it's a center of sensuous perception in physical man. Our senses get the information from the surrounding objects of the senses. Our senses are naturally inclined towards them, and then we identify the objects. There are five senses, but Theosophy says there are seven senses, the two of which are not known to science, but they are known to occult science. These five senses, and the center of sensation is in the astral body, not in the physical. So the astral body is there within it, made up of electric and magnetic substances, Mr. Judge, in the ocean of Theosophy. You please take with you a small book which will give you an approximate idea of what Theosophy has to say in regards to man, in regards to the universe around, in regards to nature. We cannot study man alone unless we relate it to the universe around him, because he is himself a miniature copy of the universe. Now we go further, we dissect man. Delphic oracle in ancient Greece has always said, man, know thyself. Why? Because intellectually, yet to be perceived by us experientially, man reflects within himself all the powers, forces and faculties that are out there in nature. in our text for theosophical meetings. On the book table, you can take this home. You are given what is man. First, you are given the propositions of Oriental psychology. Psychology is well known to psychologists and psychiatrists. The inner man is there, that there is no doubt about it, apart from the physical man. The nature of the inner man, his structure and functions are so necessary for us to know, so that it will explain to us logically the human behavior and functioning in life. Why he is a good man and why he becomes a bad man. Why he is divine in his nature and why he becomes diabolical or devilish. We see differences amongst human beings. The differences amongst human beings is the resultant of differences in the state of consciousness of the inner man. Therefore, you have to know ourselves. Who am I? What am I? Where have I come from? Where do I go? No? Natural question. Children ask us, where is God? Who is God? Who has seen him? Where have I come from? I did not ask to come here. Why should I do what my parents tell me? They revolt, rebel. The nature of the inner man is the prime importance to a student of theosophy, so that he can understand himself before he can understand others in his relationships with the external world. The world of his family, the world of his professional career, vocation, profession, wherever he is, and the world of society in general, his community, his nation, and the race of human beings as a whole. So it will bring home to us one fact, that the nature of man will determine, as we understand it, our attitude to other human beings and to life in general. That's why we have to know ourselves. And we cannot know ourselves, we cannot know the reality of the universe till we know ourselves, because myself, Atma in me, the seventh principle according to theosophy, is a ray of the Paramatma, the higher soul, as mentioned in the Gita. This Paramatma cannot act through the body. It acts through his vehicles, which it acquires under karma and reincarnation. And these vehicles are the sevenfold man or sevenfold constitution of body. In Isis Unveiled, in the fundamental work, Isis Unveiled by Madame Blavatsky, you are given this constitution of man under the title Propositions of Oriental Psychology. Nature is triune. There is visible objective nature we see around us, aggregate of the objects of perception, as Madame says in Key to Theosophy. There is a book called Key to Theosophy on the textbook, on the table, and the Ocean of Theosophy. This will give you an approximate grasp and understanding of everything you would desire to know to your heart's content. Very rational, logical, combining the views of philosophy, science, and perception by mystics, prophet reformers. The various scriptures speak of man, nothing else. We speak of his relationships to man. What is the source of that information in scriptures? The source of information in books on science gives us. How have a scientist and a philosopher and a mystic arrive at these conclusions? Through the instruments of thought and perception which man already has within him, of which he is partially ignorant and partially knowledgeable. Theosophy gives us the totality of man in his panoramic perspective, in his relations to the outside world, and in his relationship to the inner world of himself, which he can analyze. That's why man differs from animal in this capacity to analyze oneself, which animals cannot. What is called a perception, self-analytic perceptions of man within himself, through himself, by himself. And this is the totality of wisdom mentioned in the Gita. That knowledge which through the soul is the realization of both the known and the knower is alone esteemed by me as wisdom. There is no need for us to go to the books. I am the knower. Go there. It is knowledge itself, the knower, and that which is to be known by knowledge. In the hearts of all it presideth. The power of cognition, the cognizer, and the means of cognition are one in an integrated human being. In an disintegrated human being such as we dissociate these three elements of human nature and not able to see the reality as a unit, as a unitary experience which a mystic has. Certain mystical philosophers have, certain mystical scientists have. Otherwise, why should Einstein speak of the most important mystical, the most important experience of a human being in life is the sensation of the mystical in man, Albert Einstein. And this sensation of the mystical, something so profound, something so deep in human nature, something so sublime that comes from above, the gift of the gods, the light of the mind, manas, the thinker, the self-conscious chooser, the reflecting consciousness, that sensation of in I am-ness, ahamkara as egoism or egohood, the individual separated from another individual. That perceptive consciousness that can go into the kernel of matter and record the soul of things. That element of nature is there, one aspect and the most important aspect of manas, the thinker. Higher manas, the child of the mind-born sons of Brahma. And it can have an all-pervasive view of life. That capacity which we cannot understand at the moment. And this Atma in man has to operate through this manas and through this buddhi. And Atma, buddhi and manas are the sevenfold upper spiritual pole of human being, which is entirely the gift of the gods. And Atma is an inseparable ray of the Paramatma. This is a spiritual entity. Now, here Madame Blavatsky states, nature is triune. There is a visible objective nature, an invisible indwelling energizing nature, the exact model of the other and its vital principle. And this is the astral along with the other nature, which we'll see a little later. And above these two, the spirit, Atma, Buddhi, Manas. Later on, she converts this threefold classification in a second volume, The Secret Doctrine, into sevenfold, analyzing this middle principle in detail. The lower two constantly change, the physical body and the astral body and our inner psychological nature are subject to change. They are from the lower aspects of nature. The upper spiritual pole, Atma, Buddhi and Manas, are unchangeable, immortal, unconditionally immortal. We shall see later that this manas, when it is involved on the body, in the body, the lower manas is changeable because it is influenced by another nature of ours, inner, which is a desire nature, the feeling nature. Don't we see? We feel, we desire, we have aversion and desire, the two poles of human experience, like heat and darkness, pleasure and pain. No? We vacillate between the two. joy and happiness on one hand and pain and pleasure, pain and suffering on the other hand, the sublime and the ridiculous nature of human beings, the divine and the diabolical, all this is a result of this manasic middle principle, the link between the lower and the higher. Man of matter and the man of spirit, linkage is this manas, which is a most important and the crux of the human septenary nature. The lower to change, the higher third does not change. So we have got an immortal part of us. This body with this name and with this sexual component is perishable. Kshetra. The upper pole is imperishable. Kshetrajna, which is a component of Atma, Buddhi and Manas. The Christos principle in Christian theology. The Krishna principle as a whole is this Atma, Buddhi, Manas. But Krishna, the Purna Avatar, the total synthesis of the Logos, and one, not one of the rays of the Logos, is symbolizes everything in the universe objective and everything in the universe subjective in its totality, including the Parabrahm. Therefore he says, I am Paramatma, the highest soul. And I am Adiyagna in this body. I am operating in my body. I am operating in my cell. I am operating in my physiological functions. That is called biological intelligence. So our body is intelligent, not because it's a lump of flesh, but because it has got an analyzing, indwelling hierarchies of divine beings operating in it. The heart continues to pump automatically. Where is this automatism come from? Comes from the intelligences operating in this body. Now, man is triune. He has his objective physical body. He is vitalizing astral body, the real man. And these two are brooded over by the third, the sovereign immortal spirit, Atma. So he is the root and the cause of all existence. I am the father and the mother of this universe, the grandsire and the preserver. I am an all-grasping death and immortality. I am the seed of all creatures. Everything that exists in the universe, O Arjuna, animate and inanimate, are a portion of myself. I created this whole universe, but remain separate. Transcendent reality and the immanent reality, every unit of life from the subhuman, mineral kingdom, vegetable kingdom, animal kingdom, up to man, and in the superhuman beings, or rather in beings who have realized the divine potency of the spiritual component of man, everywhere there is Krishna. In every operation of the body, in every physiological, biochemical function, the divine is present. All of nature, within and without, is honeycombed with divinity. A single thread of, unbreakable thread of divinity unites the whole cosmos. Therefore, the reality is not an extra-cosmic personal God. That's a figment of human image. It's an intra-cosmic deity. When the real man succeeds in emerging himself with the latter, the sovereign spirit, when my lower nature, physical body, astral body, my life energy, prana, and my desire nature, feeling nature, aspiring nature, aligns itself with our higher nature, Atma, Buddhi and Manas, man will become an immortal entity. When this unison takes place, Krishna's I swear, O son of Kunti, he who worships me never perishes. He who sees me in all things and all things in me, looseneth not his hold on me, and I forsake him not. This reality within, this pulsating life of divinity within, has to be acquired through self-effort. It's not the instant coffee you want to acquire. A series of continuous self-effort and self-exertion of the lower nature to unite itself with the higher. The lower quaternary with the upper triangle. The square with the triangle. It symbolizes, I mean to say. The three-sided upper pole and the four-sided lower. And there is a connecting link, the bridge, which is the bridge between the two, the lower manas and the higher manas. And all complexities of life is the resultant of these two. This is why I say, when we say the little small voice of conscience that tells us what not to do, is the path of that antaskarana, the bridge, it connects the worst of man with the inner God. Man is a God in the making. The devilish man has that divinity still shining within him. But it is obscured by the overwhelming power of the lower quaternary, the lower nature of man. And this lower nature of man has to be conquered through our own self-effort and self-exertion. So from the lowest to the highest, all this is one consciousness, one stream of consciousness or awareness. But seven aspects operating one stream of life, one stream of consciousness, one life, the one intelligence operating through man at different levels. So these seeds are the levels of operation. Atma, actually it is not a human principle, says theosophy, but a universal principle taking upon itself, as the Gita says, the senses on the organs and the mind, and makes up a envelope, itself remaining unaffected by whatever we do or whatever we do not do. But it is there and it sheds its radiance through buddhi. So buddhi is the passive vehicle of atma, the principle of discrimination, discernment, judgment, spiritual perception, intuitive perception. You get flashes, no? Sometimes flashes. Oh, I see. We say, no? We are struggling with some problem. In the dreams, we find the solution from the higher nature, buddhi and higher manas. The lower pole never sleeps. Atma buddhi never sleeps. Ever wakeful, ever vigilant, ever active. The lower man sleeps. And this inner man, the spiritual pole of man, is the one fundamental thing which is there, which science denies. Materialistic school of thought denies the existence of the spirit because we have not seen it, we have not experienced it. But Patanjali says in his Yoga Sutras, correct cognition results from perception, inference and testimony. A whole line of spiritual sages, Indian and international, have spoken